May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When Simon and I moved to Dorset, we lived in a very rural part of North Dorset, in a village that was actually just made up of seven small hamlets. The first time I needed to go and visit somebody, bearing in mind this was pre-Google Maps with very little mobile signal, I asked the farmer and his wife for directions. "Right," they said, "go through Droop and at the fork go left and come to Stoke Wake. And then you'll see the old sign and go right there." And I said, "Where does the old sign point to? Where does the sign direct me to?" "Oh, it's broken off," they said. "A tractor hit it years ago and it's never been mended. But everyone knows it's the road to Belchalwell, so it doesn't matter." "Well, no," I said. I wouldn't have seen a sign that wasn't a sign. I didn't know it was the road to Belchalwell." "Well, you do now," they said. "So it's all right." The irrefutable logic of the rural mind. So when is a sign not a sign? What makes a sign? John, in his Gospel, speaks of Jesus' signs. And he gives an example in our reading today when Jesus is attending a wedding in Cana. Although John tells us this was the first sign that Jesus did, as signs go, it's not a very obvious one. Imagine the scene. A busy wedding reception is in full flow. People are enjoying good food and wine, chatting, laughing, dancing and singing. Then a ripple of consternation. Servants looking anxious, hurried whispers, panicked looks being shared. Mary, with her razor-sharp attention, notices that something is going wrong. I imagine her hissing in Jesus' ear that they've run out of wine. She immediately and instinctively looks to her oldest son to solve the problem. Perhaps this is the role he always inhabits in their family, the one to whom Mary can always turn in a moment of crisis. In this moment, however, Jesus doesn't leap into fix-it mode. He responds with a reply that's more on the lines of, "Mum, not now, okay?" Mary, being his mother, of course, knows him better than he knows himself, as she can turn with quiet confidence to the servants that Jesus will indeed fix the problem. I wonder if at this point Jesus gives an eye roll. Does he sigh? Or does he look at his mother and realise that actually this is a moment of revelation, an opportunity to permit divine glory to shine through? But Jesus being Jesus, I think, has a wonderful sense of humour here. He does a sign that only his mother, his disciples and the servants see and know about. They are the only ones who know that what was once water is now wine. It's a sign that's not really a sign, as hardly anyone knows about the mechanics of it. And yet, Jesus turns 180 gallons of water into wine. All the guests at the wedding, the steward, the bride and groom, are blissfully ignorant of the miracle. The steward even teases the groom with his comment about serving the good wine last. The groom must have looked a bit confused, as he must have known the wine order was a bit tight and certainly not of the best quality. It is an incredibly generous fixing of the problem that is essentially secret. And we only know about the sign because John puts it in his gospel. If John hadn't recorded it, we may never have known about this first sign. I wonder if this speaks into the way in which we experience Jesus' working in our lives. Jesus' signs in our life, his actions, comforts, and indeed miracles, might only be known to us. We may be at a wedding, a funeral, a party, at a meeting, going shopping, and something or someone makes a difference in our lives. Something happens to us, be that physically, emotionally or spiritually, that we realise is in fact Jesus working in our lives, a sign, a mini miracle known only to us that no one else might even see or experience in the same way. And yet, having received this sign or mini miracle, there is an impact on others as we are changed, and so others around us can be changed. This might be a moment of forgiveness. This might be the blessing of a new friendship. It might be an encouragement at a time of feeling really downhearted. Small signs, small mini miracles that reveal the glory of Jesus and his care and love for us in a way that is generous and overflowing. This is part of the amazing thing about the incarnation. God does not come to earth, despite the angelic host singing at his birth, in a showy or big ticket way. God was born in an ordinary artisan family in a fairly obscure backwater of the Roman Empire. He didn't travel more than 50 miles from his birthplace. He didn't write a book, have great statues or temples built for his honour when living. He didn't surround himself with the powerful and influential, but with fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and unreliable people who denied him and betrayed him. Only two of his signs were witnessed by a large crowd: the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. The vast majority of his signs and miracles were witnessed by only a handful of people, and other interactions are just with individuals. Jesus does not impose. At the wedding at Cana, he was almost reticent, so self-effacing, and yet so generous, so overwhelming in his gift of new wine. Do we find it sometimes that we overlook Jesus, that we fail to see the signs in our lives? I often feel that God has to write in capital letters to get me to see things. When we do notice, it's often because the gift and the sign is so overwhelmingly generous that we cannot miss it. But then there's a part two, because we, like John, should tell others. There is nothing more powerful than the testimony of someone like us telling of Jesus' actions in their lives. People sometimes feel anxious about giving their testimony, as they feel they have to perhaps talk in pious language. John doesn't mince his words in the story of the wedding of Cana. He could have missed out the conversation between Jesus and Mary. "Woman, what concern is that to you and me?" are not the most attractive words in the Bible, but they are genuine and authentic. And that's what people want. People can smell the proverbial a mile off, but telling people in your voice, in your language, something of how Jesus has worked in your life can have a huge impact. And it can help others in our church and beyond our church to have their eyes open to how Jesus might be doing amazing stuff in their own lives. What a God we have, a God who yearns to pour generous love into our lives, for his glory, yes, but as a sign to us. May we never keep silent about this. May we find our voice and tell others that they too might see the sign. Amen.